Again, that is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through 32. And it reads in there, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the movement, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you."
Well, good morning. We do have a number that are visiting with us. We are so thankful that you are here. I would ask you to open up your Bibles to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, if you have not done so already. This morning we're going to talk about a subject that I think we've probably all been on both sides of. A conversation of whether or not you're the speaker or if you're the one that is the hearer. I would trust that we've all been in this situation. There's a goofy saying that talks about sticks and stones and break your bones and words will never hurt you, which is just one about the dumbest sayings possible, I think. If words are able to build up, words are able to tear down. If words are able to encourage, words are able to break hearts. And the understanding of every word that proceeds out of our mouth, the importance of every word that is coming out, and how God expects His people to talk. This is a subject that I tell you and confess right off the bat, I am stepping on my own toes first. That's why I have this boot on. And it's the understanding, I think, that we've all been in these situations. And this morning, we're going to look at a couple of things that the Scriptures tell. Tyler and I were talking about this the other day. This is a subject we have to preach on probably every couple of months, not because there's any reasons necessarily, things are peaceful, but this is the subject that can cause absolute issues, chaos in a congregation quicker than anything else. And we'll get into that in just a few minutes in James. But I want you to notice Ephesians, the fourth chapter, in verse 29. What does it say? Who does it say you need to be careful how you're talking to? Who does it give grace to? Do you ever notice that part? Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such as a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Who's the one that's hearing these things? Who are the ones that hear it? When you take a step back and you truly begin to think about who is hearing what I am saying, it is interesting what you come to. Is it the outsiders? Is it people that don't even know God? Is it people that you don't even know? Many times it is. Why do I care what that person thinks of me? Because you're a child of God. That's why. Over in Colossians, the fourth chapter, the Apostle Paul, beginning in verse 5, says, "Conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person." Towards outsiders. This isn't even talking about Christians. Towards outsiders. I have to be careful what I say towards outsiders. What does he call it? Making the most of what? Every obstacle, every opportunity, he says. Every opportunity, not some. Making the most of every opportunity. When I get cut off, guess what that is? Crazily enough, an opportunity. I don't look at it that way in the moment, probably. But I have an opportunity to respond in a way that's going to be seasoned with salt. When I'm in front of somebody at a restaurant or at a store and they just don't have my fries ready when it's supposed to be ready, what do we do? Have you ever yelled at somebody in customer service that has zero to do with the issue? That is hilarious. It's an interesting thing. So these are the things that we put in some category that says it's okay for me to yell at them based on I think it should be okay to yell at them is the only thing that's based on. Every opportunity, he says. Make the most of every opportunity. All right, so let's say that it's not an outsider. What if it's a brother and sister in Christ? What if it's Galatians, the 5th chapter and verse 15, where he says, you better be careful, you're going to bite and devour one another. How often have you gone home on Sundays and had Christian for lunch? It can't be preacher for lunch, but Christian for lunch. You bite and devour somebody, a brother or sister in Christ. How often do we do that? They'll never know. So what's the big deal? It doesn't matter if they know. God knows. And the amazing piece of all of this, as we go forward with this conversation, let me ask you this question. In this picture of the car, if you're yelling at somebody with your windows up and they have their windows up, who hears it? How do you give grace to those who hear? What's this say? Who hears it? Is it the person that did something to you? Because I'm telling you, no. Have you ever looked in the back of your car, somebody's yelling at you, and they just look like they're speaking in tongues or something? You have no idea what they're saying. Guess who does, though, in that picture? Give grace to those who hear. Jesus tells us in Matthew, the 19th chapter, verse 13 and 15, if any of you, this is my version, hinder a child from coming to me, do not hinder a child from coming to Jesus. Now there it was physical. They were trying to stop them from going to Jesus. Do not hinder them. There are people, by their words, are going to hinder children from coming to Jesus Christ. Why would I ever want to be a part of that church based on the way my parents talk about it? The eldership has to be horrible, and the preachers, well, that speaks for themselves. Why would you ever go there? Side note, this is free. We may preach on this a little bit more. Tyler and I were talking about this. If God put an eldership where it's going to be, and preachers where they're going to be, and all of us where we're going to be, if you're complaining or saying things about them, who really are you complaining to? Or do you not believe God put people there? I'll be waiting in the back for your answer later. Because that's the choice that you have. Either I don't believe God does that, which you may want to read, or I never thought of it that way, and I got to stop. Every word that proceeds out of our mouth is to bring grace to the hearer. There are times that we're saying things to people that it's not even them that's going to be hearing it. It's the kids in the back seat that are going to hear it. And believe it or not, I don't know what age, some adults don't have this either, that filter does not kick in of what you're supposed to say to other people. If your children hear it, guess what they're probably going to say? Now, guess what they're going to say? And guess who most people are going to think it came from? There's an importance of us to understand that the words that come out of our mouth are so powerful, and it doesn't even matter who it is. There are amazing pictures that you can find of what words do to people. There are parents that are absolutely destroying their children, their self-esteem, their confidence. I'm not suggesting here, but perhaps here. that the words that you say are going to have an impact on young people. There have been studies after studies after studies done of what people remember from their youth. And it's not always or normally the positive things that were said. We talked about this many times. If somebody is wearing something that's very nice and 99 people say that they think it's a wonderful outfit that you have, and one person, one, doesn't. 99% is pretty good. Focus on the one, the negative. You can be right with God. You can be living the life. You can be living in the light, and not one person doesn't like you. For me, that's just one less person I've talked to. That's the way I look at that. But that's not everybody. And we have got to be careful of the things that we say, of wives yelling at their husbands, of husbands yelling at their wives, probably by something that happened at work. And we take it out on our family. I've always been amazed how there are people who treat strangers better than they do the people that they love the most. I've also always been amazed that when I realize when I look in the mirror that sometimes that's me. There's an importance to every word coming out of your mouth. What impact is it having? Is it bringing grace to those around you? Is it a flippant word that we say in jest? Is it a relationship that you've had that has been so good and absolutely destroyed or potentially destroyed based on one thing that you said? Do we understand what we are saying, how we are saying it, and the impact that it has on people? Over in James, the third chapter, for many, this is the weapon of choice. When somebody says something to me, I have been blessed with the ability to say something very quickly back. Or I've been cursed with the ability to be able to say something very quickly back. It's always dependent on how you're going to look at it. James, the third chapter, he tells us ultimately that this is something that you're going to have to spend every minute trying to tame. This is something that you are always focused on. Because the time you think you have it tamed, you're not going to be able to tame it. In verse 8. In verse 3 beginning, he says, "Now if we put the bits in the horse's mouth so that they obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life, and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes both blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh." You think about verse 9. I bless God, and in the same vein, same mouth, I curse man, who, by the way, was made in the likeness of God. This is one of the hardest things to keep in mind when we're dealing with humans. Made in the likeness of God. How we view people, either as an opportunity to invite them to meet their God, An opportunity to let our light shine in the midst of a situation that's absolutely dark. To have an impact on a brother and sister in Christ who are going through a difficulty. To build them up. Or to continue to pound on what they've done. He tells us in verse 10, it can't be this way. It cannot be this way. As a child of God, you cannot be blessing God and cursing man. It cannot be this way. You have to figure out what you are. Are you going to be salt water only, or are you going to be fresh water? What are we going to produce? Out of the same mouth, it is amazing what happens. We insult one another. People tear down one another. Profanity. Gossip. We build up, we compliment. Kind words. We love or we hate. Every word that proceeds from our mouth. The understanding of the consequences that occurs when we speak. And the importance of the one that is hearing what you are saying. Again, your words matter. How you say them matter. It does not mean that if there's something that is going wrong, that you don't say something. It's understanding the appropriate way to say it. That you have the wisdom to understand how to say something. That you are supposed to discipline in love. And how you handle that situation. And how you talk. There's an understanding, as the proverb writer says in chapter 12 and verse 18, there is one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. It's an interesting perspective. You ever been in a situation where somebody's done something so bad, and the next thing you know, they're just people that are just piling on. Just keep piling on. What good does that do? There's opportunities to help people. You look at Jesus and how he handled situations that, quite frankly, if I would have been involved with, I would not have handled it that way. Think about the scriptures where Jesus is walking down the street. And there were people coming up to them and just causing trouble. And there was one time where they wouldn't even allow him in. And his apostles say, hey, do you want us to call down for fire, road rage on them? No, I don't want you to do that. But when it was time to say certain things that needed to be said, our Savior said them. He knew the woman at the well. He knew the adulterous woman that came to him. He knew all the others, Nicodemus, whoever it is that came to him. And you and I need to know when it's appropriate to say something, how to say it. If you go back to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, as we bring the lesson to a close, there's an importance to understand that, yes, you are to bring grace in our words. Verse 30 cannot be missed, though. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Why should we be careful with how we speak in this context? Verse 30. You are a child of the living God. You have a relationship with him. You have been sealed for the day of redemption. There's something far greater than the situation or circumstances you find yourself in at the moment. And then he goes on. In verse 31, These things have got to be put away from us. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Talked about this so often, but I'm going to tell you, you have to continue to talk about bitterness. Bitterness is giving control to somebody who deserves zero control over you. It's allowing something that you have gone through to continue to control you. That if there's somebody who's done something to you, every time you look at them, that's all you think about, even years later. That's bitterness. And there are people who are bitter. And there are people that struggle with bitterness. God says, let it go. So does Frozen. But God said it first. Let it go. It cannot be a part of you. It's okay to be angry, he talks about earlier in the chapter. Just don't sin. Don't sin. You're going to get angry. Don't sin. And certainly do not let it become bitterness or wrath. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Put them away from you. Verse 32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. I want to encourage you something this morning. If you find yourself in a situation where you know full well you said something that you should not have said, have the courage to ask for forgiveness. Have the courage to ask for forgiveness. If you had the courage to say something that you shouldn't have the courage to ask for forgiveness. You wouldn't think that would be a big deal, but we know it is. And for those of us that have been on the other side, that somebody has said something to you, have the courage to forgive. Be willing to forgive. And on both sides, understanding that the example given is Jesus. He didn't have to ask for forgiveness, but he certainly was willing to forgive. Be willing. Be desirous to ask for forgiveness. There's got to be an understanding, as the closer that we get as a family, that there are times that humans are going to let you down. There are times where somebody may say something in a moment that they should not have said. We have got to be willing to allow them to repent. We have got to be willing to allow them to ask for forgiveness. And we've got to be willing to forgive them. Why? Unfortunately, chapter 5 begins here, but the point continues. Our job is to be like our Father. Because of all these, he was willing to forgive us. In verse 32 of chapter 4, he says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. And he continues on talking about the rest of this, about the relationships that we have with one another. Why am I a good husband or should be a good husband? Because I'm a child of God. Why am I going to be a good wife or a good mother, a good father, good child, whatever it is? Because I am a child of God. That's why. Why do I have to be concerned about the words that come out of my mouth? Because I'm a child of God. That's why. It is an absolute mistake to think that it doesn't matter. It is absolutely wrong to say the things that I've said in the past, I can just start afresh now and just forget about those things. Acknowledge them. It's okay. Learn from them. Ask for forgiveness if you need to. But we all have got to understand that words absolutely matter. I can look at situations and I've in the past where you say something and it bring somebody to tear, and you know what the response sometimes is? Oh, I was just joking. He talks about that too in Ephesians. One of the most important lessons that we've got to learn is that just because something is a joke to you, you've got to be mindful of how it affects somebody else. It's hard. Believe me, it's hard. But that doesn't mean it's any different for you or for me. There is nothing, nothing like being a child of God. That's why a Christian should be able to walk in the light and bring encouragement to others, because we're children of the Almighty God. That's why we're able to look at situations differently than anybody else in the world would be able to view. That it's opportunities. We're children of God. It is so vitally important for us to realize how we speak to one another. Will come up, whether it's today or on the day of judgment. We have got to be mindful of how we live our life. Friday night, I got an amazing text message that said Isaiah wanted to obey the gospel. Well, let's go. It's an amazing thing to sit and to talk to somebody who knows that they need to have their sins forgiven. I appreciate him so much for one of the things that he says. Many things I do, but one thing in particular he said is, I thought you had to know more to obey the gospel. No. Sometimes I think we make people feel that way. You imagine the people on the day of Pentecost as they were sitting there waiting just to celebrate simply Pentecost, the feast that they had every year. And Peter gets up and he tells them, you killed Jesus Christ. You killed the Son of God. That one that David talked about, you killed him. What do I need to do? The same thing that they told, that Peter told the people, is no different than what you and I need to know. You crucified the Son of God. He died because you sinned. Because I sinned. And I need to repent of those sins. I need to truly be sorry for the things that I have done. Not because I got caught. True repentance. That we can confess him as the God that he is. That he is the Son of God, as Romans 10 tells us. And as Peter says, you're baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, for the remission of your sins. In other passages, Romans 6 chapter, and the list goes on and on. Ephesians the first chapter, of the benefits of being in Christ. That you're his child, that he bought you, and that he is willing to forgive all the sins that you have committed. To watch somebody come out of the water, as Isaiah did Saturday night, knowing full well at that moment he was a child of the living God, an heir with Christ. And it's the same for all of us, the opportunity that we all have. Are you right with him? By his grace and mercy and love, you have the opportunity now to get right with him. If there are things that you need to repent of, do it. Take care of it. Don't let pride stop you. There is nothing worth losing your soul over. Pray for one another. Don't bite and devour one another. Pray for one another. We'll be in the back, as always, if you need to talk. But pray for one another. If that moment is now that you need to obey the gospel, let us help you. We ask you to please come up to the front as we stand and sing.